New World Witchery is a Patreon-supported podcast.
To pledge your support, please visit patreon.com/newworldwitchery.
Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Witchery.
Tonight we're checking our owls and pulling letters out of the cauldron.
It's our listener feedback show.
You ever watch Invader Zim?
Yes.
The way you did the... Hey, our listener feedback show. It's just like there's this weird like grr quality to it. Hey, this is the feedback show. No,
grr. Why did you take out your navigational system? Make room for the cupcake.
What's the one where he makes the waffles? It's like it's got eggs and ham in it, or something like that. This is something I love it.
You told me to be perky. I am. Here to listen, I guess.
Okay. All right, so I think we are all good to go. Lane, hi again.
Hello. Take two.
Honestly, two is being generous. This is take like 14 for this episode.
It goes to show how much we love you. Because Corey was listening to editing to the first recording and was like, this is just unacceptable, so we are back to do it again because we love you guys.
Indeed. We recorded basically a version of this show, and the thing is, like, we were also like trying to re-record things like the end text for our producers, because we found out we've very inadvertently been leaving some people out of our producer credits, which, sorry about that.
Yeah.
That is corrected at this point, we think. If you are a producer and you don't hear your name listed, please send us an email really quickly, because we would like to fix that.
Yes.
But we've been trying to tweak a bunch of other little things that we were doing, and it just seemed like nothing could go right. Like, everything was just chaos, so. And then we recorded a whole, like, almost hour and a half version of this show. And
you spent time editing it and making sure it sounded okay, and it did not.
Yeah, got within the last like 20 minutes or so of the ending, and the whole time I've been like editing it and, you know, fighting with it, and it still didn't sound great, but it sounded, you know, maybe it could, you know, at least go out and people could listen to it. And then the last 20 minutes it started doing this thing where like our voices started getting completely out of sync, and it was insane, and I was like, nope, that's not going to work.
So, just not happening. So
I do not have the mad microphone skills to fix that. So.
So this is our feedback show. We get a bunch of emails, and these are just a few that we've collected, and we figured some we've already written back to, but we wanted to kind of address to everyone because we thought it might be of interest, and sometimes that helps with like show topics, future show topics, and things like that. So we just wanted to do our now kind of annual feedback show.
Yeah, it's interesting because, when we were putting this together, I was looking back, and I think our last feedback show was in September of last year, and we've had other feedback shows that all kind of fall in that same early fall kind of time period. So this just seems to be kind of our annual tradition, which works really, really well.
So. Yeah. If it wasn't a tradition, I say we make it one.
Indeed. There will be an initiatory rite at the end of the episode. It involves paddles. Kinky bunny.
Oh, my.
All right. Well, I think, do you want to dive in? Just start at the top?
Sure. So someone wrote in and said, hello, I very much enjoy your book, 54 Devils. That's Corey's card reading book. And he said, is there anything I can do to help you and your work? And we wanted to kind of use this as a jumping off point to say, yes, of course. And that is Patreon. And that's, you know, we talk about that a little bit every show, kind of at the end. But we wanted to, you know, talk about that a little bit more and how it's just been really kind of a game changer for us. And we love it. And we love all the people that support us from $1 to $20, you know, to anything you can afford. It does help us. I feel like it's helped us kind of up our game, our topics, and just the passion I feel for it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, we've committed to doing, I think, a lot more with the show this year and have been able to stay with it, generally speaking.
Yeah, it makes me sound like a money grubber, but it's not that. It's just knowing that I'm responsible to people, and people are like, yeah, we support you. This is awesome. Like, we want more of what you're doing. And it's like, all right, you know, we can do this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the money side of it, don't get me wrong, it's a huge part of it, because it allows us to, you know, keep the lights on, so to speak, and, you know, and do a lot of the other things that we need to do for the show.
Right.
But there is there really is this thing where, like, honestly, because we have that sense of responsibility to people, we seem to interact with them more. Mm-hmm. We do these bi-monthly chats with people that are supporters at a certain level. And then we have people who support us that interact with us, you know, directly through Patreon as well. It's been really interesting. Like, I feel like we've gotten great show topics out of that. Like, we've gotten, you know, some cool guests even out of that. It's been a really, really cool experience.
Yeah. So our last Patreon chat, you were able to, kind of cut down and release for everybody, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a condensed version of it. Normally we don't, do that with the Patreon chats. We normally keep this as kind of one of the little exclusive bonuses for the people who are, you know, throwing a little extra money our way. And so, you know, they'll get the recordings of these, like, live chats that we have. But the last one that we had was just so good that I was like, oh, really, you know, do you guys care if I, you know, edit this down and do, like, a half hour version of this, you know, hour and 15 minute long conversation, and everybody was cool with it. So I did that, and you can kind of get a feel for what it sounds like when we just get a bunch of really smart people together on the
right.
On the computer, you know.
I had mentioned this in the lost recording, the great lost recording, but it really reminded me of when we were at the like the Pagan Podkin Super Moot thing in Salem. And there was a ton of us all in, I think it was Velma's hotel room. And we were all just sitting in, like, the little living room area. And we all just kind of went around in a circle and talked about, you know, how we got into witchcraft and what it meant to us. And it was just a really amazing conversation. And I kind of didn't want that night to end. And then that conversation, the Patreon chat, the last one, really kind of reminded me of that. And I was just like, oh, it feels so nice to have that again.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, that's, there've been a few chats. I mean, the Mixler chat that we did a few months ago too, I had a little bit of that too as well.
Oh, but yeah.
It's interesting. Like, it's just these, you know, getting involved with this Patreon thing where you have a lot more direct accountability to the fans of the show and the people that, you know, really want to see us succeed, honestly. That's kind of a cool thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
That changes how we interact with people, and it's really good. All of this, you know, it's basically, this is kind of like, you know, somebody says, how can we help you guys? And we're like, well, listener, it's our fall e-pledge day, so.
Yes, throw $1 our way.
And it's, you know, and yes, we super appreciate the financial support, but we really appreciate, you know, the fact that people make that an ongoing relationship commitment. I think that's kind of a neat thing, you know?
It's amazing. I'm just blown away by it every day.
Yeah. And we've done very well for a show our size. We're not trying to toot any horns or anything like that, but I'm very, very, like, happy to see kind of where we are with it. You know, we basically have, I think it's sort of like 60 to 65 people that are supporting the show, and The numbers are real fuzzy on how many people actually listen to the show, but I can tell you, like, you know, based on people who like us on social media or follow the blog or the podcast via these tracking things that I can follow, you know, that makes up about 2 to 2.5% of our total listening audience, that is actually like making the effort to support us, that's a huge deal, you know, like when that, mm-hmm. that kind of fragment of the audience can support the entire experience is pretty amazing. Pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So. And you know, and all of this is, you know, we're sort of talking about like kind of what we get out of the Patreon thing.
What did they get out of it, Corey?
Why, thank you, Lane. I'm glad you asked. You know, not to,
we're putting on our best telemarketer, or not telemarketer, like what is that? Where they would have the marathon, like, yeah, oh, I just hit.
Or the infomercials or the
telethon.
Yeah. So yeah, as you know, we're being glib and silly about it, but you know, it is kind of neat. It is, there's this really, you know, cool thing that happens where like we're hearing from you, we're interacting with you. But that also winds up being something where it's not just voices on a microphone or voices in your headphones. You wind up like getting stuff from us. So that's kind of fun. You know, if you support us at any level, you get this newsletter once a month that we send out, and that kind of gives you updates on what's coming up in the show. You get access to any of the sort of secret or hidden recordings that we do. And I should say, you know, we're talking about this Patreon thing, and that's, you know, I'm I want to be really, really clear. Yes, the Patreon sponsors do get this, you know, some bonus content, right? But we always do release a show for everybody else every month that you're going to get at least one show. Most of the time you're getting two a month anymore.
Right.
And those are not hidden. Those are not exclusive. Those are always going to be free in the feed for whoever wants to get them. So
right.
I just want to be really clear about that.
That's kind of the beauty of Patreon, is we're able to keep it free like that. And
yeah, it's kind of why it exists that way. And then the exclusive stuff is all kind of bonus material, bonus content.
Right.
So, and, you know, anybody who supports us in any way gets that. You know, at other levels, you can get free copies of my book, or if we wind up writing other books, those will come out. You'll get either discounted or free or signed or whatever copies of those. We do a little annual mailer pack for people that has, you know, just, you know, small little New World Witchery items in it. People at kind of the sponsor level get, you know, should get their name on the show if we get our act together, you know, but, and then, you know, they get some other exclusive stuff. They'll hopefully be getting a swag bag here in a month or so, that has just some sort of like the Oprah's favorite things. Imagine Oprah's favorite things if she's really into skulls and raising the dead.
Who says like, well, she isn't, okay?
I was going to say, like, well, wait, how's that different than normal? So there's a little bit of that going on as well. You know, and we have these, like, levels that we try to hit. And if we hit these levels, we open up new things. Like, so, for example, when we hit our first level, we were able to do a T-shirt for everybody that got the annual mailer last year, which was kind of fun. Has a rabbit on it. I'm wearing it right now, in fact.
Oh, are you?
I am indeed. I'm touching my bunny. Yeah.
Oh my.
Because it's fun. I want to touch my bunny, Lane. Anyway. And so, yeah, and then, you know, the stuff, if we unlock kind of our next level, we'll be putting out an annual kind of like almanac of stuff, you know, articles from the website, plus, you know, maybe some additional pieces that are not online, and some, you know, just some fun stuff from us that you'll be able to get every year. So that's, you know, we just have other things in mind that we're going to be doing as we grow this. But we super appreciate the support. And, you know, we've taken up a good 10 minutes saying, like, if you want to support us, visit patreon.com/
basically. Yes.
So, okay. So
you want to move on?
Let's move to the next topic.
Okay. Do you want to read it or do you want me to?
I'll do this one.
Okay.
Listener Sarah writes in and says, "Hi, Corey and Lane. I've been listening to your podcast for probably a year now. I heard a promo on Betwixt and Between. Love those ladies. Thank you, ladies, for sharing this."
Thank you to them.
To what?
I said thank you to them.
Thank you to them. "I really love your down-to-earth conversational tone, and I've been super impressed at the level of study and knowledge you share. I'm always excited for a new episode. Now that fangirling is out of the way," fangirling is always welcome, always. "I feel drawn to the concept of practicing the types of things my ancestors practiced. Unfortunately, my family doesn't have anything passed down. We're a bunch of muggles. And I think at this point, I think the last one attempted to use a forbidden word.
She's a nomad.
Whatever. Two questions follow. One, one side of my family comes from the Alsace-Lorraine region. How would I go about finding folk traditions from that area? I'm sure there are books and websites, etc., etc. I know that you guys deal with more New World things, but I'm hoping you can point me in the right direction. And second, my mom is into genealogy and would be happy to share with me what she has. Is there some way I can use that information to discover if there were any practicing witches or folk practitioners in my family? That's probably like trying to find out which of my ancestors was left-handed, but it is worth a shot. It is indeed. You know, I'll kind of tackle one aspect of this first and just saying, like, so she's asking very, very specifically about lore from the Alsace-Lorraine region. And one, she was very, very right. We both kind of focus on the New World stuff. So that's a little harder. I did give her some pointers and tips when I wrote her back, kind of directing her towards, like, some Arthurian legends that might have some connections to that area, some folk tales and fairy tales that have some interest in that area. But we're not really going to address that aspect of it. What I think we're going to talk more about is generally making those connections with your sort of ethnic background or your genealogical background, and seeing how does that work.
Right.
Okay. Do you have any initial thoughts with that?
I feel like number one is kind of your question, and I can kind of tackle number two.
Okay. Okay. Well, then, so do you backwards then forwards, or forwards then backwards?
You go.
Okay, that was much clearer. Thank you. This is that down to earth style that she's talking about. Okay, so she's asking about, like, how do you track down the sort of lore of where you're from? And a lot of that is going to basically be, you want to look at the written material is going to be interesting, and it's going to be informative if you can find, like, books of folk tales from those regions, books of fairy tales from the regions that you're looking for. That is certainly helpful. You can mine a lot of magical information from that, because those often were tales that were circulated among, sort of quote-unquote, the people of that area, right? So if you have, Grimm's fairy tales, you're getting a really good sense of kind of, like, what German-speaking people encountered in terms of a worldview that was inhabited by magical creatures, a worldview that operated in this kind of metaphorical, magical way. So the fairy tales and the folk tales have a lot to do with that, and that's really, really good. I would also say, though, that you have to be a little careful, because the stuff that gets written down, once it's written down, it's kind of under the thumb of whatever author wrote it. And so you can wind up getting... You can wind up practicing kind of a Germanic magical practice that is essentially thumbprinted with Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm's thumbprint. And that is all well and good, but I think that you would do well to kind of look for some variation. If you're interested, maybe learn a little bit of the language, at least enough to kind of look for additional sources, look for other folk practices. Don't necessarily focus just on, like, I just want to know the folk magic of this region. Because if you do that, you're going to wind up not getting to it, because that's the stuff that tends to kind of get buried with other folk material. So, like, yes, you may find folk magic, but it may be kind of woven into, like, folk healing practices, the folk medicine. Or there may be proverbs or things like that come from that region, that if you look at them from the right angle, you can see kind of the magical lore in them. So I would say those are some other things to look at. One of the things that can get really, really tricky when you're trying to practice magic is that you can get really locked in to, I just want the magic, and I just want the stuff that is clearly labeled with the size 12 typographical, sans serif font header magic. I do not want to look beyond that. if you do that, then you're going to incredibly limit your scope, and you have to be willing to go outside of that. Read general life stories. Read, you know, anything you can about that, because what you're going to find is you're going to find this stuff kind of circulating and popping up in all sorts of unexpected places. You may find, you know, church records, things like that, and you'll have little bits of information pop up there. And as you're doing that, you know, have your little notebook handy and make notes. And eventually what you're going to have is you're going to have a notebook that is your compendium of magical information on that region. So that would be kind of my approach to it.
Yeah, to kind of jump off of that a little bit, I feel like to find anything in, you know, your specific family, not necessarily your ancestors, and, you know, family traditions and things like that, it's kind of hard advice to take, because I think it requires a ton of patience. But that's to just listen, to ask questions, but not necessarily like, hey, grandma, do we have any magic, magical folklore or anything like that in our family? You know, because
just, you know what grandma's going to say? Grandma's going to say, we need to have a come to Jesus moment.
Exactly.
Get you to church.
So. Yeah, like, if I asked my grandmother that, or my grandfather, it would be very, very bad. And there would be absolutely not, you know, like, this, you know, this is a Christian family and all that thing. But I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again just in case maybe some new listeners haven't heard it. Kind of gross, kind of embarrassing. When I was younger, I had warts all over my hands. Like, I played outside a lot. I don't know if it was from the dirt or if it was just like weird genetic thing. I mean, all over. And I remember when we moved to the small rural town that my grandparents also lived in, my grandfather took me to, I think it was his uncle that was still living. He was very old at the time. And he took change out of his pocket, and it was a bunch of pennies, and he said, pick the shiniest penny. And I did. And he said, okay, keep it with you. You know, keep it in your pocket. And that's like, that was our cure for, and they were gone. I never went to the doctor. I never had them burned off, and they were gone. And I don't remember how long it took. I don't remember feeling like it was weird or it was magic. I just remember it being like, oh, okay, this is what we do. And if you look for things like that, you will find them, you know, like traditions and superstitions and things like that. And it's so funny to me now to think back on that, because I never questioned it. And then I didn't even remember it until a few years ago when Corey and I were talking, and I was like, oh my God, that's bizarre. That's like a weird little, you know, kind of magical thing in my family that I never would have guessed. So, I also think it's asking questions, but not in such an obvious way. Like, you know, how do you cure a toothache? You know, some people will say, like cloves, like, I think it's, you put cloves next to your tooth, which is fairly common, but you never know what you may get. And that may lead into other things. Oh, well, you know, my grandmother would always, put a string around my doll's head, and that was supposed to help me. And like, that's like, whoa, that is like sympathetic magic right there. I mean, that's just an example that didn't actually happen in my family, but just, you know, if you get to talking and you can kind of bounce off of that, oh, well, that's interesting. I wonder what other kind of interesting things, and you don't have to say magical. You can kind of say interesting or superstitions, and I do think you'll get there if you have family who's not open to the word magic. But it's really just listening and being patient, and, you know, and discovering things and taking them for more than just the mundane. If, you know, because some people would just be like, oh, that was just a weird tradition you had in your family, and maybe you just outgrew the warts on your hands. But, you know, for me, it was like a revelation.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a really, really interesting thing. We've talked about that with your family, where, like, you had this stuff that was there. And again, if you had ever said, oh, that's magic or that's witchcraft, that would have shut down that conversation.
Yeah.
Because the terminology is so difficult, and it's something that people are not comfortable with in a lot of situations. But if you'll just talk to people in your family, I think you're going to find that you have a lot more of that going on than you know, because most families do. Most mm-hmm. families do have something that is kind of there, and it's usually tied to something that they grew up with in some way, shape, or form. So.
Exactly.
So it does point backwards into that ancestral line, even if it's not completely, you know, and the danger of this is that you wind up with grandma's ham with the ends cut off, which have we talked about that? Yeah. So, you know, and there is an element where, like, at some point maybe somebody did something that was completely not related to family lore, but now it is family lore, and so you have to kind of, you know, you have to understand that sometimes things get invented. So.
Right, but, you know, like, I feel like that can have power, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, with so many generations starting to believe, okay, well, this is why we do this, well, then it can start to kind of have that power anyway, whether it was intended that way when it began or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, if nothing else, magic aims to be practical. So, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody did something, even if it was, you know, even if it was, you know, your mom invented it last week and it seems to be working, there's no reason that you can't try it yourself and see if it works for you.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah, so I think that kind of gets to it. With the idea of genealogy and, you know, can I look and find members of my family who were, you know, practicing magicians, witches, etc. I mean, there are court records that are, you know, you can certainly try to cross-reference them. If they ever were ever tried for it, those are fairly well kept. At least in terms of European witchcraft trials. But I wouldn't, I mean, you know, if you're just wondering, like, were they somebody who kind of leaned into the magical side of things? Well, that's going to be, like you said, it's going to be very, very hard to, like, trying to find out if they're left-handed. So, you may just have to poke around and see if stories pop up. And again, listen, if you listen, boy, you know, it does wonders for finding new magical lore. So.
Agreed.
And just one more note on that before we jump into the next one. Magic is a lot of times very much about relationships, the relationships you develop with the natural world, the relationships you develop with the spirit world, right? Mm-hmm. But the relationships that you develop with other people can have that impact too. So if you have a good relationship with your family, even if you don't agree with them on everything, but if you have a relationship where you can talk and share stories, that's going to provide you with a source of magical information. So.
Yes.
Such are my thoughts. So say it I.
So say we all.
Oh, goodness. All right, should we move on?
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
Okay, next one says, hi, Corey and Lane. I first wanted to say I love your podcast. Well, thank you. I've just started my little path along this witchy journey, and I really respect your opinions and knowledge, so thank you for inspiring those who have yet to find their tribe. I was wondering if either of you had any advice for someone just starting out, if there was anything you wish someone had told you when you first began. My second question is if Corey still does cartomancy readings online. I've been listening to back episodes, so I'm not sure if you're too busy for those anymore. I would love some advice/direction or musings from those above if you're still open to it. Thank you for your time and your wonderful podcast. So we'll just call her C because we didn't get permission for her name. But you want to answer her question about the cartomancy?
Yeah. So I still do the cartomancy if you want to send in a question. It's donations only, so whatever, you know, much like Patreon, whatever you care to give. It's a one-time donation, not an ongoing one. So, and then you would just email me your question. I will say this, you know, she asked about me being too busy. I am in a really, really busy period of my life just based on kind of what I do, professionally, you know, with teaching college and things like that. So my response times, I try to get back to people within 24 hours with a reading, but sometimes it goes a little longer than that. And so I don't want you to, you know, write in with a question and, like, maybe one of those things where, like, I have to decide what city I'm moving to by this afternoon. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, can't help you.
Yeah, so basically you're saying understand that there will be a little bit of a wait time, but you're still doing them.
Yes, I do. I do still do them. I do still have, you know, I do still do them, and I'm happy to do them. I just don't want to give people false expectations about the time frames on that. So
yeah, I feel like that's fair.
Cool. All right. And then what was the other part?
Okay. The other part is advice to your past self or anyone starting out again. And my advice is really to just read as much as you can. You know, really get your hands on everything you can, and learn that. And, you know, and also you can, once you read a bunch, you can start to question some of what you've read and if that works for you, or if that, you know, see if that disagrees with a ton of the other things that you've read, and you're like, well, maybe this one isn't necessarily a great source to look from, and you can discard that. And, this is in our first recording, I had mentioned how when I first started out, the internet was a thing, but it wasn't exactly something I had great access to like I do now, where, you know, just Googling was not at my fingertips. You know, that wasn't really a thing for me in those dark days. So a lot of it for me was, there was like a little local, new age shop. You know, they sold incense and they sold, CDs with music from around the world, and they were always playing something new when you walked in. And, they had a big section of Wicca, basically, and that was where I started. And I bought so many books, and it's funny because I couldn't take them home. So, you know, they would stay with friends, or I would hide them in my locker or in my backpack, you know, just as much as I could. And I just read so much and really tried to take it all in. And, you know, now it's both easier and harder because, like I said, you have Google now. You can just Google anything you're interested in general, but also magically. But that also gives you a ton of, I feel like, what is a little bit more conflicting information. So, you know, really look at your sources and who is telling you what you're reading, basically. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, I think everything you said is exactly dead on advice. You know, get your hands on as much information as you can. I would say one other aspect of that is make sure you go beyond one-on-one books. And that's not to say, like, jump immediately from, like, you know, Wicca 101, Scott Cunningham's Wicca Guide for the Solitary Practitioner to, like, the Necronomicon. Like, I'm not saying, like, do that. Like, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, look at the areas, because the nice thing about kind of, like, witchcraft and magic is that it seems to bring a lot of threads together, because mm-hmm. it's so tied into this sort of sense of an integrated world, right?
Right.
So you wind up with, like, folklore and, you know, botany and herbalism and chemistry to some extent, literature and poetry feeds into it. You know, follow those threads into other areas as well, and I think you'll find, like, you know, oh, I'm really, really, you know, I'm interested in magic, but one of the things I really love is, you know, this sort of high drama of the ritual, the poetry of the language. Oh, that leads me into discovering, you know, Anne Sexton and using some of her work in this, or, you know, incorporating, you know, some of the romantic poets or something like that. And so I think if you do that, you wind up with a more well-rounded practice, because you're not just depending upon this sort of echo chamber that can happen in a Wicca 101 environment. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you just wind up with a fuller sense of practice. And then, speaking of, I think the other side of that is practice, right?
Right. Yes. Just try out things. You know, say, okay, I'm going to try candle magic, and I'm going to try cord magic, and I'm going to try tarot and playing card readings and see which one works better. And, you know, I'm going to try a dedication ritual. I'm going to try a sabbat to the moon. You know, just try things out. See what works for you. There's, If it's well-intentioned, if you're doing good spells, good practices, then I feel like it won't, you know, come to bad ends because you're inexperienced, you know?
Right. I mean, maybe don't make a war water bomb the first thing you pull out of your bag. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to seem patronizing and moralizing about this, because, you know, I think there are perfectly legitimate reasons to you know, throw a hex on somebody or to use, you know, what people consider this kind of, like, negative magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are perfectly legitimate reasons for those kinds of things to happen. But when you're first starting out of the gate, there's a lot of stuff that you kind of need to be able to pull together to make that work. And, you know, it can be a really tempting thing to abuse. It can also be something that you can get caught up in consequences you don't need to get caught up in pretty easily. So basically what I'm saying is, why not a money spell? Why not try a money spell first? That just seems,
yes.
Yeah, money spell. Let's do that.
Yes.
So at any rate, yeah, I think that's it. I'd also say maybe, because I do feel like, to some extent, witchcraft ties into your connection with your surroundings, your land, basically, right? Your immediate surroundings. Maybe also look at, like, local history as well, or look at, you know, when I say local history, I don't necessarily mean, like, the history of the town that you live in, but even the kind of, like, geologic history of where you are. Like, has it always been mountainous? How long has it been mountainous? You know, where does your water come from? Things like that. Get a sense of, like, where you are, so you have a sense of, you know, how to interact with that space.
Yeah.
I think that does that cover it? Does that do pretty well?
I feel like so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll throw this out there. This kind of answers this question and the last question that we did a little bit too. I would say maybe look to ancestral connections as well. Not necessarily like your grandmother and your grandmother's grandmother, but like, you know, turning to sort of like, you know, invite magical practitioners of the past to, like, be your guides or to help you along your way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can wind up, you know, Peter Padden talks a lot about recovered lore, where, like, they would do work with ancestors and they would suddenly find, like something they learned in ritual suddenly was born out in this text source that they discovered 2 weeks later, and they're like, oh my gosh, these things, what serendipity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be kind of a neat way of exploring it too, so. There's lots of ways, lots of gates that you can go through.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, just because that's what worked for me doesn't necessarily mean that will work for you, but that's, from personal experience, that's what I recommend.
Yeah, ditto.
Okay, next one.
Okay, listener K asks, I'm new in my study, still in the broom closet, have been exploring witchcraft and paganism for just over 6 months. I really enjoy your podcast. Find it to be fun, knowledgeable, and charismatic. We've got you fooled. I'm contacting you because in my exploration, I'm finding a bit of a void. Again, I'm new to this, so perhaps it's just my own ignorance. It seems easy to find spells that promote one's own good and well-being, or do damage to others, or that defend oneself from an annoying or attacking individual, but it's difficult to find spells that enhance or promote those you care about. I've come across many ideas on how I could cast protection over my children, calm household arguments, though again, both of these things benefit me as well as them. However, I recently searched for ways to enhance my husband's courage, strength, and confidence during a difficult time in his life, and came across naught but ideas on enhancing my own courage, strength, and or confidence. Is it true, good, effective to tailor my own spells this early in my journey? And then she gives me suggestions of things that she might do in that situation. And so I think that, though, kind of gives us the crux of the question, right?
Mm-hmm. And I would say absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Yes.
Do it.
Yes. Short answer, yes. Tildier, yes.
Yeah. It's funny. I completely agree with you, and I hadn't even really thought about it until we read through your email. But you're right. There's not that many kind of altruistic, charitable type of spells. They really are kind of self-focused. I won't say self-centered or selfish, but self-focused. And I do think that's kind of an interesting show topic for later, is why does witchcraft feel very focused on the self, you know, like, because there is, you know, there's healing magic, there is charitable type of magic, but for the most part it's to enhance your own life, and so I feel like that would be good to talk about later. But anyway, to go back to the question, I have done almost that exact thing for my husband. It was more of a job spell, but it was also just kind of to help him kind of ace the interview. You know, like, I'm a very nervous interviewer, and he does well with things like that. But, you know, I feel like every little bit helps. And so at the time, this is one I completely made up. I didn't, you know, read it anywhere. I just kind of went with it. And I incorporated a few different things that had worked with me at the time. I don't know that I would necessarily do the exact same thing now. But at the time, I used 5 different candles, all different colors. I think I used like white, black, you know, black for repelling negativity, orange, blue, like a pink for kind of friendship, and, you know, because you want to be kind of friendly with your interviewers and your coworkers and things like that. And I set up each candle in the shape of a star and, you know, and a pentacle, and lit them in the shape of a invoking pentagram, which I believe starts with like the lower left hand side of the star. I can't even remember now, but so I did that, and then I also had these 3 little things that I put into a bag, and one was a tiger's eye for courage, you know, to courageously go to this interview and ace this interview. An emerald, an uncut emerald for, you know, money, obviously, because that's why you need a job. And a coin that he had, that his dad had given him, that he'd carried around for a while anyway. But, you know, you could use several different things for this. And so that it kind of tied it to him specifically. So I passed each one through these flames as I lit them. And now, if he hasn't changed jobs in a long time, but if he ever does, we anoint it with Crown of Success oil. And I say we, it's really me, but he carries it every single day, and the bag has since disintegrated, but he still carries the 3 objects in his pocket. And it's one of my most successful spells, I feel like. And it was one I totally made up just based on what I knew. And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about in the previous question of, like, just reading so much where you finally get where you feel like you just innately know some of this stuff, and you can, you know, you can work off of it. And, like, you know, like color correspondences, you know, like, that's simple, but that really has a lot of effect in a lot of the work that I do. Sorry, that kind of made me lose my train of thought. That was a little side note. But yeah, so I definitely recommend doing it, and I think a candle spell is a great place to start. And even if you're a beginner, again, like we said in the previous question, you know, if you have great intentions and you're just wanting to help somebody, who, you know, that you've talked to and that who kind of knows that you're doing this, then I think it will go well, you know, just do your research, and that will be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I think you and I have a slightly different take on, like, do you need to talk to them about it before you do it for them?
I think I'm much more like, and I
fire away.
I've changed a little bit on that. I don't necessarily think you need that, but
it's a good thing to have. I certainly wouldn't say, like, never get it. I mean, that's ridiculous. If you get it, that's great. Use that.
You know, I will say, though, if you're newer to it, I think it helps a little bit more, if that makes sense.
No, I think you're right. I think there is some validity to that, like, because then you feel like there's, again, it's that, you know, magic is relationships. You've built that relationship, so there is a connection that you can use to sort of push the magic that way. Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's funny because, like, I think, you know, we all, it's one of those things where we all, you know, have those stories in our past where we have done these kind of sort of altruistic spells or done these spells for other people. And, you know, we've seen them work, and it's, you know, oftentimes when we're beginners is kind of when we're doing it, we're just sort of looking for, any excuse to do a spell sometimes.
Right.
I remember I had a friend who was, I think I've told this story on the show before, but a friend who was going to lose his driver's license. He was over the points. Like, he'd been pulled over enough time that he had too many points on his license and he was going to lose them. Mm-hmm. He would lose the license. And so, you know, he was freaking out because he had like a 30-minute commute every day. And so, I was like, well, let me try this spell, see what I can do. And I think it was basically, I used a mirror and his name and something, a few other things, but like, it was like a mirror and his name. The mirror was like to reflect back any, you know, any harm that was coming at him. And his name was kind of his, the token that was him. And then I think I buried it in like the hollow of a, like the root of a tree where the sun would never shine, basically. Like, the sun didn't shine on that part of the tree ever. Mm-hmm. So it was always hidden, basically, from view. And so there's this like, okay, we do all this stuff together and it will keep you from the view of the eyes of the law, basically. And it did. Yeah. He didn't lose his license. There was a clerical error in the court system that kept him from losing his license for the rest of the year, as long as he didn't get pulled over anymore.
So, right. That's nice, though.
Yeah, it was great. It was, he was very happy about that. So, I think I also bought him a bumper sticker that said, "Support your local police officer. Does this ticket, or does this bumper sticker get me out of a ticket?" And it actually did once. So. So. He got pulled over a lot, though.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. So, at any rate, it's interesting. Like, there, and it was one of those things where, again, it was like you're saying, it just sort of felt like I had the pieces of it in me, and I felt them come together for that spell, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think you have room for improvisation, even very early in the magic, magical practice. You just have to be, you know, willing to make the experiment, make the effort, to have it work. So that's kind of where I can come in.
Yeah. Okay. So next question.
Sure.
Let's see. Autumn says, "Corey and Lane, I love your podcast. I know you have mentioned mojo bags before. I would like to start learning more about them. Would you know of any good resources, books, websites regarding mojo bags?" And also, from another listener, Molly, she asked, "I had a few things I wanted to ask. I'm starting up school here again after a while off, and I'm hoping to make an academic crown of success mojo bag. Hoodoo is my main field of knowledge. So as you described in a blog post a good time ago, I'm hoping to make my own crown of success oil. However, I saw your post on it. Oh, however, and I saw your post on it. I don't want to ask you for your exact recipe, proportions and such, because that's yours, but I was just wondering if I could get some basic guidance on how to mix a decent oil." So I will lob that over to you.
Thanks, Lane. So, I don't know, it sounded like very, like, back to you, Ken. Yeah, I mean, I'm not super proprietary about what I use. I mean, I'm basically... use, you know, bay leaves, and I'll use something like frankincense to sort of be a spirit attractor, five finger grass or cinque foil, which helps you to find favor in the eyes of others, things like that. The bay leaves and the bay oil are because the, you know, victors in the Olympic Games in ancient history were crowned with bay leaves as a crown to signify victory. So there's, like, you know, all of that is to say, you know, if you're looking for a specific recipe, you can follow something like that, and you're going to get on. You're going to be on the right path for what you're looking for. But this isn't like the specific recipe kind of show, because we want to, you know, extract from the specific letter kind of a general idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say one, you know, it does kind of set that there aren't a lot of, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of books on, like, how to do really specific magical techniques and magical things. They sort of all get lumped together. You know, candle magic does get split off into its own books sometimes, but beyond that, it's, you know, I don't know. I think it would be nice to see more material out there that was like, okay, this is a book that's all about just charms, just paper charms, and how you use them. Because I think people start to have an affinity for one form over another.
But, yeah, I agree.
You know, and with doing mojo bags, I would say all you're doing, like, you know, with a mojo bag is in my opinion, what you're doing is you're creating a small spirit house that, you know, will invite that particular energy, that particular entity, that particular, creature, so to speak, to be with you and work on your behalf, because you are regularly feeding the bag, which therefore is regularly sort of feeding that spirit. So really that's what you're doing is again, you're trying to find the right combination of things to welcome that spirit into your life. And I would say, again, trial and error is a really good way to approach this is, look for a recipe that seems to kind of, that you can sort of see the mechanics, the underlying mechanics of. So you're like I said, like, oh, there's bay leaves, that's for victory. Oh, there's, frankincense, that'll attract the attention of this spiritual thing. You know, what else can I add into that that's going to kind of get me towards what I need to do? Oh, well, Solomon's seal would be good because this is an academic thing, so I want to attract the wisdom of Solomon, right? And so, like, as you start to feel those pieces come together, you can then, put that bag together and work with it and see, if it has the desired effect. And if it doesn't, there's nothing saying you can't take it apart and start again, So it's experimentation is kind of key there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Not really. Just, it's harder for beginners just because, they don't necessarily know, what goes into, a crown of success. Just in general, that would just be like, I don't know. I don't even know where to start. So I feel like it's harder to, like you said, to just know, and know those kind of correspondences. But, that's where the internet comes in. Find a bunch of different recipes and really figure out, okay, this is a really common ingredient in 95% of them. So, that's probably something that I'll use. And then I feel like you can kind of jump off of that and be like, okay, well, but this would, I feel like, really work in it, even though no one else has used it. Well, maybe that's your crown of success,
Yeah, I 100% agree. Yeah, you find the formula that seems to be sort of the not the lowest common denominator in kind of the worst way, but the baseline,
mm-hmm.
the ingredients that seem to repeat, like you said, sort of repeat themselves over and over again, the version of the spell that seems to be that, and then that's magic, is adding yourself into it. You have to have some stake in it. You have to have some investment in it for it to really connect, for it to really work. So yes, you're going to have to add a little bit of something that works for you into this. That's just the way it's going to be. So,
yeah.
I think that basically gets at that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, I think we published a lot of our either recipes or the ways that we make things, on our site. So if you are looking there and it's not posted and you kind of want to know, feel free to write. I mean, I'm generally speaking, I'm not a real stickler for this is mine, you may not have my, it's not my 11 secret herbs and spices of magic. That's not what I do. I'm very open source and that kind of thing, because I also know I can give you my recipe and it might not work as well for you.
Right.
Because there's something I do, some thing that kind of enters into the equation that is, my, as I said earlier, my thumbprint on that version of the magic. And mm-hmm. you're going to have to improvise. You're going to have to wing your own little piece of that. So, does that make sense?
Yep. Sounds good. Yeah.
Cool. All right. And then sort of one of the last things that we came across, we had several people write in, with their traditions. We did an episode a while back where we were talking about basically it's the harvest season. I don't know what to do.
Blah.
I'm going to eat some bread, maybe make a pumpkin.
Yeah, we've both talked about how the harvest kind of festivals and holidays don't really resonate with either of us. And I don't want to speak for you, but I have been trying to kind of connect with them a little bit more. I did do a midsummer type of celebration and really enjoyed it. But a few people, we asked for people to write in and tell us if you connect with it, please, what do you do basically? And a few people wrote in and, gave us some really great answers to that.
Yeah, we had some people that just, and you know, a lot of these are things that, you know, you and I might not particularly adopt, but I love hearing what people do. Like, that yes. actually does make me feel like, oh, yes, I could maybe follow that thread and do something like that. That sounds interesting. So.
Right.
Were there any ones that you were particularly drawn to that they shared?
There was, I don't have it pulled up, I'm sorry, but there is something here that I can read. So let's see. So both Delta and Samantha, both, you know, shared some information with us, and we just wanted to thank them. And then a listener, Poppet, also shared some of her holiday traditions, and we wanted to just kind of highlight some of those. So she said, "The autumn holidays are the most significant of all the holidays in my home. It may be of note that my husband and I live on a large rural property that is predominantly oak forest, with our home situated on the top of a hill in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. This setting fosters my close relationship with nature, the will of the year, changing seasons, etc. Likewise, as a vegan, I pay close attention to the edible plants that grow both in my garden and in the wild on the property, and eat lots of fresh and seasonal dishes. So Lunasa was a challenge for me as a grain harvest because in addition to being vegan, I'm also celiac, which is the autoimmune disease that is triggered by gluten, a plant protein found in wheat, rye, and barley. Because I could not eat the wheat-based breads or drink the barley beers, I adjusted the menu feast to center around gluten-free oats and corn, since they are both also grains. And I said, Mabin is our largest family holiday. I, at this point, asked, is it Mabin or Mabin? Because I have pretty much always said Mabin in my head, and I will bring that up again.
I think it's Mabin, but that's based on, there's a collection of stories called the Mabinogion, and Mabin, I think, is related to that.
Just wanted to bring that up again, because although I was clarified last time, maybe somebody would like to be clarified, you know, for the one that we're actually going to put out and not the lost episode. That's how I'm going to refer to it.
The super secret episode.
Yes, but anyway. So she says, my kids, raised Catholic by their birth mother, she's their stepmother, refer to it as pagan Thanksgiving. So we host all the family over for a big meal, and as a celebration of the apple harvest, my menu always includes a wonderful stew of carrot, sweet potato, and beef for the kids and husband in an apple juice broth. Likewise, fried apples and pears in a brown sugar glaze, bread with homemade apple butter, apple pie, and hard apple cider are included in the menu.
And this is about the point where we were like, I'm really hungry, so I'm going to go eat. So.
It's a lot. She says, for me, Mabin is my hearth and home holiday. I'm so often moved to tears as I peel all my apples in the night before Mabin in preparation for this meal. And I just thought that was sweet.
Yeah, I love that. I do. We mentioned earlier about, like, you know, the stuff you grow up with as lore in your family. Mm-hmm. And the one of the ones that we had was in my family was, like, if you could peel the apple all in one strip, it was good luck. Or you could, like, throw it over your shoulder and it would be the initial of the person you marry.
Mm-hmm.
So that just made me think of that. I don't know. The idea of peeling apples. I just love it.
There's also one I read about. It's a Swedish tradition, and Midsummer is huge in Sweden. And it is that girls would eat really salty, like, porridge the night before, that night, so that they would dream of the their true love who would come to quench their thirst.
Yes, they would come off of them like a drink in the dreams, yes.
Right.
Yeah. We have a lot of those. You find that tradition repeated here, too. Like, in the Ozarks, I think they have a tradition like that, where you would eat, like, salt pork. Like, you would eat a big thing of salt pork right before you go to bed without drinking any water, and that would divine your future beau.
Interesting.
Indeed. So much. Magic is so interesting, you see. So interesting, in fact, we've spent 6 years talking about it. So, at any rate,
we're not stopping anytime soon.
We are not. We are not. We're, you know, doubling down and going deeper, as it were. So, I feel like that's, I think, everything. Do you have anything else to add? I mean, you know, a lot of this is, you know, all about kind of, there's been kind of a common theme in several of these about the idea of, like, you know, how do you connect with your practice? How do you, you know, where do you start? Where do you, you know, what do you do to, you know, get yourself, make yourself knowledgeable, get yourself going in magic. And I think that's something that, you know, it's worth reiterating. We still struggle with, you know, we've been doing this. I've been doing this for over half of my life, for sure.
Same. Now, and, yeah.
And now we feel really old having said that out loud. But it is a big, you know, it's a big deal to be able to, you know, say like, yeah, I still feel like, oh my gosh, there's so much I need to learn. And that's kind of awesome. And I turn to these books, these wonderful books that I have, but I also turn to practice. You know, there's something about like that getting in there and getting nitty gritty and, putting my own stamp on it, developing my own relationships and, you know, being folksy, folking up the orthodoxy is I think how we put it in the last episode, right?
Yeah, when we were addressing the first question about the history kind of, and you were saying that people folked up the orthodoxy. And we decided that needed to go on shirts, so we're trying to work it into this one.
Yes, because if that were lost forever, it would be a tragedy.
It would be.
But yeah, there's that sense of like, you know, there's this proper way, you know, people think that there's this proper way to do witchcraft. You know, yes, you should learn. Yes, you should go and, you know, you should learn about the harvest rituals. But everybody has their own spin on the harvest rituals. Yes, you should learn about mojo bags and find the common denominator versions. But then you're going to have to do your own thing to make them really, really work. So, you know, put your full folk into it, you know. You really, really, you know, throw yourself into it and you're going to do magic. You're going to do great magic, I think. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Does that kind of cover everything generally?
I think so. I think that's a good place to stop.
Cool. Well, all right. Before we go, I want to say we do have good, exciting, fantastic news to announce.
Yes, we do. I'm really excited.
Indeed. Sometime in, I believe, March 2017, Lane will be coming to visit me in Pennsylvania. We'll be spending some time at Philadelphia. The Penn Museum in Philadelphia has this really big exhibit that is basically ancient magical artifacts. And how would we not go to that?
Right. Like, I get to come visit you. I get to see some other cool people and hopefully some listeners, which is why we're talking about it.
Yes. So we're trying to organize this as something. We're not going to, you know, put this on as like a full, like, Pagan Podkin super moot kind of thing or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not even, I wouldn't even necessarily call it a meetup. It's just, hey, we're going to this thing. It'd be really cool if some listeners showed up too. If you're kind of in the area, you have the gumption to do it, then please show up. We would love to see you.
Absolutely. And we do have one other podcaster who's going to be kind of joining in on this, Chris Oropello from down at the Crossroads, and his fiancee Tara are going to be coming out for this too, I believe. So it is, you know, it's kind of a mini moot, in a way. We're not organizing anything really, really elaborate. But if we get enough people that are interested in it, we will certainly put together a tour group for the museum. And maybe we can go out to dinner. Maybe we can do a ghost tour, things like that. You know, not going to, again, I don't want to be like party planner number one for this.
But. Right.
But we do want to extend that to listeners if they're interested in coming out and joining us. So.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Would be great. Yeah. And then beyond that, I think that's the only big news. We do have next month, we'll be doing another live Mixlr broadcast where we will be sharing ghost stories. So if you have ghost stories, we would love to hear them.
Yes. So there are several ways that you can share. And one is to call our voicemail line. And Corey, you have the number memorized and I do not, unfortunately.
I do. That number, Lane, is 442-999-4824. That number again is 442-999-4824. Or if it's more convenient, 442-99-WITCH.
There we go. Perfect. So you can call and leave that voicemail and we can play it, you know, on the air live. Another is that you can email that if you don't, you know, kind of want your voice out there or anything like that. I totally understand. You can email it, and then I will be happy to read that on the air come the time. And we do have a couple that people have sent us in, not for the show specifically, but they were kind of creepy that I thought would be fun to read out. Like one from the doll episode that we did, and someone talked about their creepy doll experience, and I thought that would be really fun. And the third is that you can call in to us
live
that night.
Yes,
live. But the only thing is, we want to make it really clear. With Mixlr, we have an hour. Like, that's it, an hour. It starts counting down, and once the hour hits, it cuts us off. So last time, we were really great about keeping, like, on it and knowing, okay, we have about a minute left, so we're going to wind down. And, you know, like I said, we timed it just right. And so we just want to, you know, you'll come on, you'll share your story, and then we'll probably cut you off. And then we'll move on to other stories. And it's not that we don't want to talk to everybody specifically, but, you know, we just keep in mind we do have, you know, we do have to keep it moving. So have your story, you know, if you need to type it out beforehand and then read it to us, if you want to do that, that's great. Just keep in mind it's a short show.
Right. Well, it's not even that it's a short show. It's that it's, you know, a normal show, but it's hard limit, you know, hard out
at
the end of that hour. So, and again, we're not going to be, you know, actively like, oh, like, call one, tell your story now, go. You got 30 seconds. It's not going to be.
Right. Yeah. You're not going to have a time limit or anything, but I just want people to understand we can't spend 30 minutes on one person.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, if you can get your story out in, you know, 5-6 minutes, then great. Then we'll, you know, be able to have that and be able to be, thank you so much. That's really awesome. And, then move on to the next story. So we just want to be able to kind of keep that moving, get as many stories in as we can during that time period. So yeah, if you have stories, please do share them. We love to do that. We think that'll be a lot of fun. And that'll be near the end of October. We'll post some information about the Mixlr broadcast and about the trip to Philadelphia as well on the website, so you get to see that coming up soon. Mm-hmm. That should do it for us. If you want to write to us about things other than ghost stories or about ghost stories, you can email us at compassingkey@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. You can always leave us a comment on the blog, and that's newworldwitchery.com.
Mm-hmm. You can follow us on Twitter or on Facebook. We have a Pinterest page called The Old Broom you can find. That will all be in the show notes. And of course, again, there's that phone number, which is 442-99, which.
Which. I love it.
Yep. If you like what we do here, if you think that what we're doing is pretty great, again, you can always support us on Patreon, patreon.com/newworldwitchery. Throw us $1 a month, whatever you can provide. We are grateful for it. Makes you a patron of the arts, both podcasty and magically. So.
Love it. That's perfect. Yeah, so I guess that's it.
That should do it. Lane, thank you so much for take 13. Take 13.
Take 13. I like it. Oh, yeah. Well, no problem. That's part of the beauty of Patreon. We're able to do this again and put it out for people and be like, you know, they deserve really great sound quality.
Now that you've said that, of course, it's going to be completely screwed up. But anyway.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, seriously. Boom, boom, boom. All right. Well, then let's cut it out, and I'll make sure that everything's functional, and we'll talk to you guys again this month, next month, sometime soon.
Yes.
But until then, thanks for listening.
Be well.